You're listening to the Fear in the Southwest podcast. Hey, this is Drew from Fear in the Southwest podcast.
Hi, and I'm Stephanie.
Hi, it's Alan from Podcast.
Is that your new nickname, Alan?
Yep.
Podcast?
Yeah, that's my... That's
Podcast
my
Alan.
That's my legal name now.
Damn it, took my idea.
All right. Well, we got an interesting episode for you guys tonight. Mm-hmm. Part of it is fan request, for once. We got an actual fan request. Can we believe it, guys?
Yeah, I hope we get many more.
Yeah. Keep them coming.
A lot less work for us to try and figure out.
Not that we're lazy or anything.
All right. So, shadow figures and apparitions. Shall we just start there?
Yeah, I suppose.
All right. Let's jump into that.
So let's define what a shadow figure is. In our opinions, and define the differences between them and other hauntings, right?
Yeah, apparitions. Okay, so shadow figures are generally like literally look like shadows, like dark figure. They're very fast, usually seen at the corner of your eye. Usually always makes you question what you just saw, like, what was that? You know, very clever. Apparitions can be, you know, just, you know, what you guys would stereotypically call a ghost. I saw a man figure, saw through him walking through my house, or a white misty light, or a white figure. Apparitions are very kind of wide topic. Shadow people are very specific, as, you know, speed. They're fast, they're dark, like, they literally look like a moving shadow that isn't caused by you. It's not my shadow.
Something kind of... I always saw more silhouettes.
Yeah,
more silhouette-like.
Like, you catch it, and then you have to sort of take a step back and be like,
What did I just see? What was that? That's kind of like the biggest thing between, like, just shadow figures is usually the quick movers, silhouette-shaped, very quick, corner of your eye, typically kind of thing.
I often notice that with shadow figures, sometimes you see them in the same spots. Like, you reoccurringly see them. Mm-hmm. Like, if you saw them in the hallway, chances are you'll see them in the hallway again. If you see them in the kitchen, you'll see them in the kitchen again. So it's like they like to reoccur.
Yeah. And that's interesting, because, I mean, I know of shadow figures being in both intelligent and non-intelligent hauntings, and...
What's that? That's a good topic. What's we can kind of branch off there for a second. The difference from an intelligent haunting versus a residual haunting. Mm-hmm. Let's give the audience a little perspective on that. Residual haunting is kind of like, I like to compare residual hauntings like if walls could talk. Mm-hmm. It's like a reoccurring, you know, event that, you know, you could see, you could walk, you know, old house, and like every morning at like 4 a.m. it's the same noises in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning, or on a certain date, or at a certain time, or at some moment, you know, dramatic event happens, like the anniversary of stuff like that. Now, as an intelligent haunting, would be like your active ghost, where you can be like, you know, like the stuff you see on TV, where they try to talk to these spirits. You know, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, knock 3 times if you can hear me, and
they want an intelligent response.
You know, intelligent question, intelligent response. That's like, you know, question answer, not like.
Rather than just a memory or an echo.
Yeah, an echo of an event.
Or a time.
Yeah, it's intelligent. It would be like you can like communicate with it. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're using spirit boxes or, you know, all those other devices that they use to communicate. You know, EMF detectors, the flashing lights. Like there's a good handful of tools that paranormal investigators use to, you know, communicate with intelligent spirits, intelligent hauntings, and the reason they do that is to kind of validate the haunting. Now, don't mistake, paranormal investigations isn't necessarily we're hunting ghosts per se. It's more of the process of elimination of it could be in anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, the debunking. It could have been a car light. Could have been this. Could have been this. You know, process before you assume it's a ghost. It's the process of
floorboards and a draft and everything else.
It's the process of elimination. Like, you know, not saying that it's not possible. You know, there's been some pretty cool evidence out there, but it's a matter of, you know, paranormal investigating is, especially if they're looking for an intelligent, you know, haunting, is also validating, you know, history claims, people's stories, that, hey, you know, this person named Joe died in this house, and he's said to haunt it, and if you can talk to Joe, the ghost, and have, like, credible, like, hey, like, we had this conversation, basically, with a ghost, you know, that's kind of also what could have been something else. Could someone fake it? You know, there's going to be critics, and there's going to be, you know, a proper investigation is the properly eliminating any other factors.
Mm-hmm. And diagnosing which of these paranormal types you're dealing with. And I think there's one more that we haven't gotten into. And that's what has been historically called a poltergeist.
Oh, poltergeist is
some of that.
Very.
What people talk about is an intelligent haunting. Mm-hmm. Something that moves other things. But then there's also poltergeist was initially a term used to describe bursts of psychic energy. With or without a actual mind behind it. So a lot of people thought you would get these kinds of cases around you know, girls, mostly around puberty.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they thought the Enfield case was in the UK. So they thought that it was this psychic energy kind of like a volcano rather than, say, you know, an actual ghost.
And not to say, like, obviously that was kind of like the original grounding of poltergeist, but not saying that hasn't stretched as far as, you know, a malevolent spirit that's, like, just pissed off and wants to throw your dishes around the floor, you know, because, you know, who wants to come home and, like, well, I had these dishes in the cabinet and I got shattered plates on the floor and the chairs and the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could still be technically poltergeist activity, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not the original, you know,
noisy ghost,
you know, it's a really just very active, mean, dangerous spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So may some aspects fall in the poltergeist activity, but I think that kind of activity needs to have, like, another term, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, it's I think it's kind of strange psychic energy more than anything else, and I think that kind of activity tends to happen in areas that you tend to see haunted a lot, you know, places that just have that vibe, you know?
Has that energy.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
and
probably
a lot of residual
in that place too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
maybe that's just something, maybe certain spirits end up just stuck to those places, like,
can never,
like,
leave.
Flies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So poltergeist, you know, it's kind of its own little realm versus, you know, a residual and intelligent, but it also ties in. Yeah, it's a lot of, like, just psychic energy, you know. Now, whether that, no, what's, here's another theory. What if spirit has psychic energy and that's what's causing it?
Mm-hmm.
What if that residual haunting is what's feeling it? Like,
mm-hmm.
That area is still really, most people are going to assume poltergeist activities, like, my chair just got thrown across the room and, you know, just a mean spirit, you know, moving stuff.
You can get that activity in a place even that where no one's died, no one's come even close to it.
You could have attached it someplace and it followed you, or the energy.
A lot of attachment energy
with
poltergeists where people escape a house or they break lease early and they get a new house, things are okay for a couple weeks only to have the same thing start occurring in the new house.
And then again, see, that makes you think about the psychic energy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times with, you know, a family like that, maybe they have a teenage daughter or angsty, like, just That energy's attached to it.
Yeah, that energy is sort of bursting forth from one person, and you're getting this activity all around you.
Mm-hmm. Especially if someone's going under, like, severe stress,
mm-hmm.
Depression, anxiety,
mm-hmm.
you know, things can start to happen, and, like, who's
to say,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Psychokinetic energy.
It's very much interesting to kind of ponder on that, because
mm-hmm.
most people's perspective don't really go to the whole psychic energy thing, so
mm-hmm.
that kind of, you know, lays out that theory a little differently. Could this the spirit psychic energy being in this, you know, is it, whether it's intelligent or residual?
Yeah, that's the point of this about investigation. You know, you try and figure it out, but then you actually have to find. Is this energy attached to a person? Is this haunting attached to a person?
Mm-hmm.
Did you bring it back somewhere, like, you know, gum on your shoe?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you mess with an object?
Mm-hmm.
Or you've heard of people, like, you know, they go to a yard sale or they go to a thrift store and they get a new couch or cabinet or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then start experiencing weird activity or noises coming from that cabinet or certain smells that come from that couch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in the fabric or is it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You hear about different...
It, like, the energy is tied to that object,
mm-hmm.
furniture,
mm-hmm.
a doll. I mean, we've talked about dolls on this. We've
so
talked
dolls.
About dolls on this channel, so guys, check out that episode. I don't remember what number, but
attend, like with Ouija boards and dolls. When you invite something,
mm-hmm.
when you knock on a door, and you know you're asking for something to come to the door, you don't know what's gonna be, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't know.
And that's the thing with those types of things, like the Ouija boards and stuff. People can try to get a reaction from it
mm-hmm.
and get nothing. But let's say they have a friend come over days later, or, you know, someone that might have vulnerable energy, and that's who it attaches to. So people need to take caution sometimes in what they do, because it can attach to other things.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't even know that something's attached to them
until
they open that door.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that, you know, your friend comes over, doesn't know she has a energy or spirit tagged to her, and then you pull out the Ouija board and now you've pretty much invited it out, you know, because you've been carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's been sayings of, like, some spirits, there's, like, a certain code of conduct, you know, like we were talking about, you know, like with the black-eyed kids, you know, you don't let them in.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be invited into your home. So a lot of times, you know, maybe with a tagged spirit, you know, attached, they won't do anything until you do some sort of action, or
mm-hmm.
like a Ouija board, or you make some sort of knowledge that it's there.
Yeah. One superstition I heard is that you should always have a mirror in front of your front door. That way, if someone comes to your house and you open the door, if there's a bad spirit, it sees the mirror and bounces off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this person that started doing that said that they would be watching TV, they'd be washing dishes, and hear random knocks on their door, and when they'd answer, there would be nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that person was convinced that it was something trying to get in the house, and that's when she started with the mirror, and slowly those knocks stopped.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, they used to keep all the windows open in the house after someone passed away
mm-hmm.
until that person was in the ground, because if you're listening to a dead ringer, then they could end up coming right back to the house.
So yeah, there's a lot of interesting aspects to think about, and that's, again, important for seasoned, you know, investigators to understand all these one potential causes for a haunting,
mm-hmm.
how to classify it, what haunting it belongs in, is it really a haunting, or is this somebody who just have, like, really crappy windows and they got a draft everywhere,
mm-hmm.
is it an old house, I mean...
And the worst tend to... You tend to feel a heavy and oppressive energy all the time, and it saps you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially if, like, you go somewhere else, you know, you go to work, you go to a friend's house, and you feel better, you feel light,
mm-hmm.
you feel different. But then when you return home and you start to feel that heaviness again,
mm-hmm.
those reoccurring
yeah.
thoughts and stuff, you know.
Yeah, and
I think walls
we always mm-hmm. is this something that was always in the house, or am I just listening to it for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes people a while to realize, like, what they're what they're feeling or acknowledging it, and that sometimes that's what it takes for stuff to get more active.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once the spirit knows that you're aware of it,
yeah, it starts to target you.
It
like
starts
it
to
knows.
Wait.
It has demands. Yeah.
It's like a spirit searching for attention. Now it knows that it's got your attention.
It's when you acknowledge it. When you acknowledge it, and but a lot of times you hear of families having a spirit in the house, and you know it's kind of taboo to talk about. No one wants to scare the kids or scare somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times they keep it hush hush. But everyone is seeing and experiencing the same thing at
we
different
don't talk
times.
About it.
Yeah, different rooms. But it's not until like a strange event happens, like maybe two people are finally in the same room and this something happens and they're like, hey, I've been
well,
seeing
this
for a while.
This is
going
to be a lot
mm-hmm.
harder for me to deny.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I guess
we're
it
drunk.
Is.
We're drunk.
I guess it isn't just me. Thought it was just me.
You're right, man, we're drunk.
But yeah, so that's definitely an interesting topic. You know, maybe we'll dive into more specific stories, and you know, Hollywood's covered, you know, poltergeist activity
everything,
and stuff.
Yeah.
I think each one of us has been in a place that's been smudged before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sage.
Yeah, been to a few.
And speaking of Hollywood, you always hear about like these movies, these films that people like covered a possession or poltergeist, and then like the cast became haunted or weird stuff started to happen on set because even the props were like bringing in things or you know
the energy like tagged into it.
In poltergeist they used actual dead bodies rather than fake ones because they were cheaper, but that had no shortage of crazy activity drawn to that set. In both the Amityville series, the actors, first one Josh Brolin, second one with Ryan Reynolds, all the cast members started waking up at 3 a.m.
Started getting that.
Yeah.
I forgot. There was one about the Dybbuk box. I forgot the name of that movie. And even the fake Dybbuk boxes they made ended up, the rooms that they were in ended up lit on fire somehow. And it's something that happened three times. Once with the actual box, two times with the stunt different boxes.
It's amazing how energy, ghosts, spirits, attaches themselves to objects, a story, a happening, a filming.
Even pieces of clothing, you know. You hear about old wedding dresses or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Let's go back. We've talked about some apparitions, intelligent hauntings, poltergeists, residuals. Let's jump back into shadow figures.
Just silhouettes.
Yeah.
Have you had any experiences with the shadow figure?
So, growing up, you know, we lived on the street. We lived on, what are they called, cul-de-sacs, where, you know, it's that circular part of the street. Our front door and window, you know, it was pretty far away from the road. You know, if someone came, they literally had to walk into our yard, you know, to see us and stuff. And, you know, every couple times, you know, this was at my dad's house. And so I would go over there once a week, sometimes stay a weekend, a month or something like that. And I remember, like, just being in the living room and every once in a while see shadow go by, like right by the window, and I'd look and I'd be waiting for someone to knock on the door or something like that, and nothing. And what's weird is that this shadow figure was like the exact same height, same silhouette as one of our neighbors. You know, my stepbrothers had a friend who would come over, and sometimes he'd come over when I was there and hang out and play video games or something. And I remember one time seeing this silhouette going by, and I thought, oh, you know, he's coming over to hang out, and I wanted to scare him, so I decided to wait by the door so I can just, like, rip it open before he could knock, and I'm just waiting, and finally I open it, and there was no one there.
Whoa.
And, you know, I remember, I think it was my stepmom, she asked what I was doing, and I told her, I thought, you know, I thought he was coming over, and that's when she told me she's seen it too, especially washing dishes, because the sink was right there, and there's times where she'd see it go by and she'd look up and there's no one there.
That's super creepy, for sure.
And it was, you know, because we'd be thinking, oh, someone's going to ring the door. And after a couple years, we found out everyone had saw it. Mm-hmm. Everyone had experienced it at one time or another, but mm-hmm. no one really talked about it.
Because they probably are like, I'm the only one that sees it.
How many times do you think you could see these things all around you in your life without ever knowing? Because you didn't take the double, you didn't do the double take when mm-hmm. you saw something out of the corner of your eye. You pass someone on the street or something.
Yeah.
But once you start paying attention, you start hearing and seeing things everywhere, I think.
Yeah.
Shadow figures are definitely an interesting one. I don't...
Yeah.
I've seen a few, like, quick shadows in the corner of my eye, but nothing really definitive for me. Because the one figure I used to see, I wouldn't really classify it as a shadow figure, even though it was, I guess, technically a dark silhouetted figure, but I would more classify it as more of an apparition just based on its behavior. And that was at my old bus stop, this old little farmhouse, shack house. It's like boarded up now, but it used to be like every morning this dark figure would come out and...
That one?
Yeah, the one right there down the road, yeah. Right there, where's that sunset? Right next to that house,
yeah.
It would just... There used to be, remember that big tree used to be there before they cut it down? He would come out and like stand at the tree and like just stare at me. And then, but that behavior is more apparition, like haunting, like more than shadow figure, like, because like it would sit there and like watch me for like a long period of time.
Yeah, and like the energy in that old house seems more like that. Rather than hearing a bunch of words or something banging around, you would just get that, you would get the terrible sense, really heavy sense, and you couldn't ignore it. I mean, you'd start walking out, you'd find yourself just running out, because it's that kind of place.
Yeah, I remember going into that house, because, you know, we were kids, and, mm-hmm. like, we were curious, and at that time, it wasn't necessarily boarded up, and mm-hmm. I think I've talked about it before, but, like, when there was, like, old bumper stickers from the high school, all over the cabinets, and weird stuff on the floor, the mm-hmm. weird looking bags in the backyard, and you walk in that house and it was just like weird feeling, and like mm-hmm. you were just, you know, I'm just gonna leave, you know, mm-hmm. the faster I got out of the house the better kind of feeling.
Yeah, like I said, oppressive, heavy, thick,
mm-hmm.
dank with it.
And a lot of times with spirits is it's almost like they study you. They'll get to know your habits, they'll know your sleep habits, when you come home, what you do, and sometimes they'll mess with you.
Mm-hmm.
They know when you're going to get up, and you know your alarm doesn't go off.
And what category would we put that in? Intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
It's observing. It's reacting to your behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
It's reacting to your life. It's acknowledges. I think a lot of times an intelligent haunting has to also deal with, like, it knows like it's a ghost or it's a spirit, and like, but it wants to communicate or it wants to interact, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, you break it down to almost any other haunting, like a residual is just like a repetitive like event over and over, over and over, over and over.
Mm-hmm.
It's just based on event, like if your walls could talk, well, they do in residual haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Yeah. A thought that a lot of people have had, a theory, is like, what does it take for a spirit to intelligently manifest? And a lot of times what you find is areas with a lot of running water tied to them,
mm-hmm.
you end up getting a lot more activity. And if you think of us kind of as batteries that carry water, and you think about all the stories, you know, someone wakes up and there's something hovering. You know, they feel sapped every day a little more, you know.
I'm waking up, feel like you're being watched.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's always...
I think, yeah.
Well, that kind of brings us into our next topic.
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes, you know, you wake up because you can feel the... You just feel the energy.
You feel like you're being watched.
You feel
like
that
energy,
a heavy
energy,
oh,
and you
absolutely.
Wake up and...
Now, what kind of stuff can... There's another one. Like, you wake up. What about when you're sleeping?
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about that. The idea was sleep paralysis sometimes, and I tend to hallucinate when I do that, when I have one. It seems like I can always tell when I'm going to be having one too, because I feel static on me all day. But that's a terrifying thing.
What is sleep paralysis?
Supposedly, it's when your mind is still in REM and you're basically your eyes are open. You can respond to some stimuli, but you usually can't really will yourself to move very much. And people tend to find themselves panicking in these situations, and if that's causing you to hallucinate what you see, I can't tell you. But what I can say is I see some scary crap, and then I find myself at 6 a.m. waiting for the sun to come up and bargaining as soon as I can to be like, okay, this was just a paralysis episode. But yeah, it's supernatural until, you know, the sun's been up for 20 minutes. And then I'll do anything to explain it.
Yeah, that's gotta be a crazy feeling to like wake up or, hey, I can see, I can, my brain's asleep and my body's awake.
Mm-hmm. But people tend to see shadow figures, like more than anything else. They tend to see one of three things. That what they call the hag, getting hagged. A haggard old woman, a crone, kind of, who's sitting on top of you. And they feel held down. They feel like their larynx is getting crushed.
Yeah, I had an experience like maybe 2 years ago where I woke up and I saw this light. And I looked at the light and I was like, what was that? And it went away. And as soon as I laid down and turned over, there was someone staring at me. Mm. And then I felt them touch my chest so hard. Like, it felt like my heart was going to jump out. It felt like someone was, like you said, crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to this day, I don't know if I was dreaming or if there was something really there. It was just, like, a full-blown anxiety attack feeling.
It feels like it's going to be fatal. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's where the term nightmare comes from. From a spirit called Mara that they used to believe would come. An old woman who would come and, you know, attack the sleeping men. That's where nightmare comes from. It's pretty fascinating. But not to learn about right before you go to bed.
So if you're listening to this before bedtime, we're sorry.
Yeah.
But people see either the hag, which was also in like medieval times called incubi and succubi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oppressive spirits that hold you down while you're sleeping, attack you while you're sleeping. But then there's people also see shadow figures, and they tend to generally see several, and they most people end up recognizing them sort of as minions.
I've heard the term, like, you'd wake up and like your bed would be like surrounded with shadow figures.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like all like,
too.
Where like they're like watching
you,
like you're being observed.
You can see them in the corner of your eye, but you can't turn over.
You can't move. You can acknowledge. Hey, I can see
you. You feel that weight on you.
You feel like you're being watched by all directions.
I never got the hag. What I got was Hat Man.
Hat Man.
Yeah, it's a huge, like 8 foot tall, maybe bigger. And the first time I ever started dealing with that, it was when I was actually in the hospital on my extended stays. But that was terrifying, because it was something that sort of just like crawled out of the floor, and I couldn't really move. And what I deal with now is every time it'll come in and I'd see the things beside me, and things large enough that it could be at the foot of my bed, and it runs its fingers
mm-hmm.
like this on my feet, playing piano on my feet, and it could lean over, and from the end of the bed, it could lean over and stare at me eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's how large.
That's heavy, scary.
Uh-huh. It's terrible. And
how many times have you had that? How many times have you had that experience?
Dozens. Like
does
I
it get, does it get any easier?
No, not at the time. It gets easier to explain it away when you wake up, though. Yeah.
Compared to the first time?
There's a really cool documentary that talks about all three called The Nightmare.
The Nightmare. I'll have to check that one out.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's creepy, though. Not before bed, though.
Not before bed.
No, I'm sending that to all my friends, kids, and everything. just like the fake haunted dolls from Etsy.
Oh, man, that makes a great gift.
So, do you guys think, do you guys have locations in mind where you tend to hear a lot about the shadow figures? I mean, near us, there's, of course, the Tombstone. You hear about those running into place at night, but
I think they're all around.
I know, like, downtown Tucson has a lot of things, you know, a lot of things have happened with the history here, but especially, you know, the Hotel Congress.
Mm-hmm. Hotel Congress,
you know,
Pioneer Building.
A lot of stuff seen in the bar.
Yeah.
There's a certain room that people can rent and they've seen things. So.
Mm-hmm. Let's see the Pioneer Building, which is the Pioneer Hotel.
Yeah.
That's said to be like one of the most haunted buildings in downtown.
Yeah.
It's a business now, so I wonder how that goes. Yeah, so if you guys have any good locations or you have a story to tell about shadow figures, check, go to our Anchor page and, leave a voicemail. There's an option on our page. If you're in the Southwest podcast, you can leave us a message and we can actually take that clip and include it in our next episode and, and respond. Check us out on our Facebook if you're in the Southwest podcast. You can comment there. We'll obviously, share stories. We want to hear from our audience and what you guys want to hear about. So, check us out on the social and, hit us up if you guys want us to talk about a subject or want to, what you guys think of this episode and if you've had any experiences with shadow people, mm-hmm. poltergeist,
paralysis, anything.
Mm.
We want
and, to. Yeah, tell us some locations. You hear that where you deal with that a lot. We could do a second part.
Yeah.
Talking about places and situations where you see them often.
Yeah. You can go, maybe define it, by location.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Very cool.
Alrighty, guys. Well, season 3, episode 3. What a journey we're on so far, right?
Right.
We've gone to ghost towns, urban legends, and now shadow people.
Yeah.
What's going to be next? Alright, guys. We'll catch you all on the next episode. Stay creepy.
Good night.